basic needs of everyone. The basic needs of everyone. And we're going to turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 7, and then verse 13. So that's where we're going to look at this morning. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 7, and then verse 13. Of course, that's the love chapter. A lot of people are familiar with that chapter, whether you go to church or not. A lot of people know this. A lot of times we read it in our weddings. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secrets, plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we've had today. I thank you, Lord, that we've had the privilege of just joining with a family, dedicating the children. I thank you that, Lord, we have the privilege of coming into this house to worship you. I thank you for the privilege that we have that we can read your word. And we pray that as we do that here today, I pray that your word would find a resting place in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to share with you about the basic needs of everyone. Basic needs that affect all of humanity. Basic needs that people are searching for in life to be fulfilled. I was reminded of these needs a few months back when we were meeting to talk about the First Nations healing ride that we as a church were able to be a part of. And as we had some of those meetings and I was expressing my willingness to be a part of this, I was quite amazed one day when one of the leaders responded with excitement and said, this would be a great place to stop. Not just because it was a church and there's so many issues of the church and First Nations, but he said, because of the signs that are posted on your property. And he told me, he said, you know those signs that you have right out here? I said, yes. He said, well, every time I drive by your church, I see those signs and a peace comes over me. Those four signs represent the universal need of everyone: faith, hope, healing, and love. And those are the very things we are looking for and are in need of. That caught me by surprise, that it was having that effect upon this individual and obviously upon other people as well. And that really touched me and encouraged me that, you know, we really need to be pressing in about these thoughts of faith and hope and love and healing. It's kind of interesting as well that as they organized that whole healing ride, that part of their advertisement is they talked about the church. It talked about these, again, these four universal truths that everybody needs and that prayer would be received here at this church. So I thought that was pretty cool. So again, they had that listed as something that was important to be connected to this church. Now, I realize that some of you actually may not be aware that there's actually been signs out there that, you know, you just kind of drive on by and you don't even think to even bother to look. Or, you know, it's just kind of something that's in the back of your mind as you drive by. But there's people who are paying attention to what we're doing here. There are people that are paying attention even to the signs that are here at our church. That's kind of interesting, a little history about those signs. Those signs came about when one day we got together with some of our board members and we were some other staff and we were out there in our field and we were praying. And Daniel Baker was up here with us, and so we're out there in the field. And he spoke to us. He said, you know, I just see signs on your property. Signs like faith, hope, love, healing. You guys really need to put these signs up on your property. And what's interesting is, if you don't know that gentleman, he often checks back with you to see if you're doing what he suggests to you. And he'd call back, hey, have you done that yet? And I'd say, no, not really. It was almost a year before we finally got those signs done and we put them up. But it's just interesting that he would sense that, you know, years before, and then seeing a harvest because of that. You know, sometimes we need to realize that God really is doing things in this church. Sometimes we go through things in our lives, and we go through trials, and we go through troubles, and we sometimes begin to believe a lie that, well, God's not doing anything anymore. Well, he is doing things, friends. That's a really good indication of what he is doing and how he is speaking to people. And if we're not careful, friends, when we get that place where I don't sense anything, well, Pastor, you tell me this is happening or that. Well, I don't sense anything. Well, if you're in that place where you're not sensing anything, that's kind of a sign to us that we need to be looking at ourselves. Say, God, touch my heart. I want to see what you see. I want to hear what you're hearing. I want to see what you're wanting to do in this place. I was reading a book this past week. Actually, I read it all in one night. And it was a book about change. It says, change before you have to. And in that book, it said, you're either moving towards God or you're moving away from God. There's not really a kind of a stand in the middle place. You either move towards God or you're moving away from him. And so he says, the time to make change is now, so that you might keep moving forward, because if you wait, something will happen. And then you'll find yourself far from God. And I want to tell you something. God is indeed moving in this church. His hand is upon our church. Just a few days ago, I had another pastor. He called me, and I was just kind of coming back for lunch. So Cynthia was kind of wondering, why is he still sitting out in his car? And he called me then, and he got talking to me. And he said, you know, Pastor, you have such a strong prophetic calling that's over your church. You need to guard that. And you need to be ready to start walking out what God is saying and what God is doing. I find it interesting that sometimes, you know, as we go through those times or lives where maybe God seems to be quiet, or we're not maybe receiving as much as we want to receive, that sometimes you need to listen to what others are saying. Sometimes those outside the church, sometimes other Christians that start speaking into your life. And sometimes what we need, or the answer that we need, sometimes is right in front of us. And God can use someone else to speak to us. And I really believe that God used this healing ride to remind us of as a church to be focusing on these very truths that are the signs that are on our property. Because as they said themselves, they represent the universal need of everybody. Everybody needs faith. Everybody needs hope. Everybody needs healing. Everybody needs love. And so this morning, that's what I want to talk to you about. Just those four things. Four things are on the signs here. If you've never seen those signs, maybe take a left as you go out and just do a quick look at those signs that we do have out there. First of all, let's start with everybody needs faith. It's a universal need of all humanity. There's a longing in all of our souls for faith. Everyone needs to experience faith in someone or something. The dictionary describes faith as a belief system, believing in someone or something, having a confidence or a trust in someone or something. It also refers to that belief system to be either in a God, a higher power, or a religion. So the world is recognizing that everyone needs to have faith in something or someone. And when we look at our world, we see that people usually do. Sometimes your faith is in other people. Sometimes your faith is in themselves, or sometimes in their own power. Sometimes their faith is in what money can do. Others have faith in a cultural practice or a certain religion or a certain God. And we need to realize that there are thousands of religions and thousands of gods and thousands of spirits that people are putting their faith in. That's a reality out there. And there's many people that are putting their faith in those things, and that's everybody's right. That if you want to do those things, that's your right. You can do whatever you want. But if you want to find true and fulfilling faith, if you're in this search of faith, then let me tell you something. Then you need to come to Jesus Christ. The Bible, the most proven book in all of history, even though it gets attacked many times, is still the most proven book in all of history. There is no book anywhere else in the world that has ever been written that can stand up against your Bible. And it tells us some of these things. It says in Romans 10, 16 to 17, but not everyone welcomes the good news. That's the truth. Not everyone's welcoming good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. So that's telling us that that's a message that we need to be clearing out there, because how do people know that Jesus Christ is that way to faith if no one's out there telling them that it is? You know, we often go along with the world system of thought that, you know, you can choose anything you want and you just go right ahead. Well, we need to be saying there is another choice. There's Jesus Christ. And to tell people about Jesus Christ and that they can have faith in Jesus Christ. That's where faith begins. Acts 20, 21. I've had one message for Jews and Greeks alike. The necessity of repenting from sin, turning to God, and having faith in the Lord Jesus. And that's what we need to do to have faith. It comes to a place where we repent of our sins. We have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all know that. There's no one here that is a perfect individual. We've all made our mistakes. We've all have sinned in one way or the other. And as we recognize those sins and we repent of those sins, as we turn to God and have faith, then you need to have faith in someone, not just a general term of God, but in faith in Jesus Christ. Now, not everyone wants to accept that having faith in Jesus is a way to salvation, or that having faith in Jesus Christ is the way to find fulfillment to one's search for faith. And again, friend, it is your choice. But let me tell you clearly that if you're searching for faith and are wanting to find fulfillment in this area of faith, you will only find it in Jesus Christ. And again, the scriptures are really clear about that. Acts 4:12, there is salvation and no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And so if you're looking to fill this need of faith in your life, if you're looking for that something or someone to believe in, may I suggest to you to try Jesus. He is the one that will bring a confidence and a peace in your life when you choose to believe and have faith in Him. And this is what this church believes. This is what this church practices and follows. Faith in Jesus is the answer to your need and in your search of faith in life. And then secondly, we see that everyone needs hope. It's truly a universal need that all people are really searching for. Dictionary describes hope as a feeling of trust and reliance on a person or a thing. That hope is what is promised will happen. Another says hope is that where a person's expectations are centered upon, whether that be a person, a thing, or a God. Now again, not everyone's expectations or hope is centered upon God for their answer, for their fulfillment in their lives. Some center their hope on a career. Some center their hope on money. Some center their hope on a culture or a religion, a God, a spirit, or even other people. There are many places that you can place your hope, and people have done that throughout the years, and they've found disappointment instead of fulfillment. Again, everyone has a choice. And you can choose whatever and whoever you want to place your hope in. But again, the Bible tells me that there's only one place where I'm going to find hope, that I can put my trust and my confidence there, and that it will bring fulfillment and peace in my life. And that place is Jesus Christ. No one has done what Jesus has done. He stands above every other god because he did what no other god did. We all know that passage of Scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. 1 Peter goes on further to state why we should place our hope and faith in Christ. Because he's done what no other god or religion has done. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. See, Jesus Christ has done something that no other god and no other religion has seen out there. Only Jesus died for our sins. But not only did he die, he also rose again. He conquered the grave, that he proved that our hope for eternity is real and possible. He rose from the grave, ascended to the heavens, sitting at the right hand of the Father, position of authority. So you can choose to hope in many things. You can choose to hope in many gods or in many ways if you want. But if you're looking for a peace and a confidence about who or what you're hoping in, there's only one place you're going to find that, and that's in Jesus Christ. Romans 15:13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus does for us. He brings us true hope because he is the source of hope. He fills us with joy. He fills us with peace. He fills us with a confidence that our hope is in the right place. So if you're here today and you're wondering, where should I place my hope? You're obviously thinking about God because you're here. Well, that is the right place because everyone needs hope. And Jesus Christ is the answer to your search for hope. You will find joy, peace, confidence in him. And that's what this church believes. That's what this church practices. That's what this church would follow. There's hope in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, everyone needs healing. Again, universal need that's out there. People are searching for healing emotionally, physically, and from all of life's diseases. The dictionary describes healing as to make well, to make one healthy again, to cure a disease, to free from grief and troubles. Now, many people look to many ways to experience healing in their lives, from good ways like our medical doctors and medication to herbal treatments and vitamins, diets, counseling, and lots of good things that you can do to help your health, exercise, and those kinds of things. But sometimes people turn to the wrong things. And they turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to worshiping other gods and worshiping spirits. And that gets a lot of people in trouble. And again, people are missing the fact that, again, Jesus Christ is your answer here once again as well. Jesus Christ is that answer to healing. If you're in need of healing, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual, Jesus Christ is the answer to that healing. But again, many people miss that. First of all, as we look at healing in this area of diseases, the Bible tells us God heals. And that God heals all our diseases. This was the testimony that was written about Jesus in Luke chapter 6, verses 18 to 19. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him and he healed everyone. Jesus can heal our diseases. I have witnessed that. I have seen that. I know it can happen. But just because I've seen it or know it still doesn't compare to what the Bible simply says God heals. And I take God's word for what it says God heals. Now, I may not understand all the reasons why some people are healed and some people aren't. There's a lot of reasons why I do understand. But there's also some reasons why it kind of leaves you baffled, like, how come that person was? I don't have all those answers, but yet I still know we serve a God who heals. So I'm going to keep believing for healing. However, for many people, you know, they can handle or cope with sickness. But really, what really affects people more are the emotional scars of life's hurts. Where people need a healing emotionally, inwardly. When they go through rejection, when they go through abuse, when they go through betrayal and broken relationships and fight through depressions and things of that nature. And those scars can be very, very deep in people's lives. And a lot of people struggle in those areas. And as we look at our world today, we see more and more people are struggling in those areas. Actually, it's getting to be the place where the majority of people are struggling in those areas. And some people, they get to that place that they're willing to do anything to make that hurt stop. And that's where, you know, we get the abuses of drugs and alcohol. That's where some people get in that place where they start contemplating suicide because they don't see any hope for healing. Is there any hope that I can be healed? When we had that First Nations ride, that really spoke out to them. They were looking for healing. They want to be healed of these things. They want to move on from apologies and they want to start experiencing forgiveness, expressing forgiveness, and see people forgive them and also accept them. They're looking for healing. So just as Jesus is able to heal our physical diseases, he's also able to heal our emotional sicknesses and our emotional hurts. See, he is the answer, Jesus Christ. Throughout of all scripture, and he welcomes us to come to him with all of our grief, with all of our anxieties, with all of our cares, and with all of our hurts that we would come to him. Matthew 11:28 records these words of Jesus. And Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. What is rest? Rest is peace. Rest is relief. Rest is freedom from anything that wearies, that troubles, or that is disturbing us. That's what Jesus can do for us. So if you're searching for healing today, whether it's something that's a physical disease or something physically that has happened to you, or whether it's something emotionally that took place in your life, some hurt that has happened in your life, you need to realize today that Jesus Christ is that answer. He is a divine physician, and he is able to touch you. He is able to heal you physically, emotionally, spiritually. He's able to make you whole. That's what Jesus does. So Jesus is the answer to your need of healing. We believe that as a church. We follow that as a church. We preach that as a church. We pray for people because we do believe that can happen. So if you're here this morning and you're in need of a physical healing in your body, there will be an opportunity at the end of this service that we will pray with you and believe God with you. But maybe there's some other things that are going on in your life. And there are some hurts, emotional things on the inside that are needing healing. We also believe that God can heal those things too. And that he is the answer to bring that peace and that fulfillment and the strength and the hope and the joy and all that we need can be found in him, Jesus Christ. And then lastly, everyone needs love. So many people are searching for love today. So many people are searching and wanting, what is true love? The dictionary says that love is defined as a deep affection, a devotion to someone. Love is a strong liking, an expression of goodwill and affection. Love is a term of endearment, and has a warm, tender, compassionate desire. See, there's a need for all of us to love, and also a need for all of us to be loved. See, love was never meant to be a one-way street. It's supposed to go both ways. Where we all need to love others, but we also need to be loved by others. And that's where many people get hurt, and they look for love in all the wrong places, and sometimes you're even looking for love in the right places, but sometimes things happen in life, and that love gets broken, and that person is left broken inside. And there's a lot of people out there hurting today because they don't feel loved. They don't feel it. Why not? Because sometimes it's because they got betrayed. Sometimes it's because of abuse they've experienced or they were treated unfairly. Sometimes it's offenses, or sometimes they're taken advantage of, or all kinds of things can happen where our hearts get broken sometimes. So there's a huge cry out there, will somebody love me? Will somebody care about me? Will somebody show me what true love really is? You know, we began this morning by reading the love chapter. Often we read that in our wedding ceremonies. And we read usually just a portion of it, not all of it. And we read these words, verses 4 to 7. It tells us what real love is supposed to be. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It doesn't rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. See, that's the type of love Jesus wants to bring into our lives. But again, we are free to choose whatever and whomever we want to love or experience love. Many of us would seek love through families and friends or a spouse. But sometimes even in these areas, we suffer loss and disappointments and breakups. And Jesus tells us he wants to offer us a love that is sure is so great and so pure that will truly fulfill our lives, and he will never, ever stop loving us. And Jesus proved to us his love for us in the most sacrificial way. When Jesus went to the cross, Jesus sacrificed his life for us. He died in our place. He paid the price of sin, which was death, that we might be restored to God in heaven, eternity in heaven. He did that because he loved us. He loved us. John 15, 13 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. He extended his love towards us while we were still sinners, while we weren't even seeking him. And he promises that he will never stop loving us. Even when we mess up, even when we betray him, even when we turn our backs on him, God will always love us and be willing for us to turn back to him so that he can wrap his arms around us once again. And tell us once again, I still love you. I've never stopped loving you. I still love you. God is love. I love Romans chapter 8, 38, 39. It's just a small portion of that chapter talking about the love of God. And it says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're looking for love, the greatest place to find it is in Jesus Christ, because he will never, ever stop loving you. Never, never. God loves everyone with an everlasting life, an everlasting love, and he welcomes us to come to him that we might experience that love. So if you're searching for love, if you're finding inside of you that you have a need to be loved, Please let me introduce to you Jesus Christ. In a few moments, we'll have an opportunity for prayer. And if you're here today, and maybe you've really been going through that, and you've gone through all kinds of things, this issue of love, and it's not been fulfilled, and you're struggling. We're going to have some people that will gladly pray with you and introduce you to Jesus Christ, that you might experience His love. His love that'll never fail you, and never give up on you, and will always be there for you. See, we believe that as a church, and we declare that as a church. Jesus does love you. I was talking with Peter this morning as he was preparing for children's church, and I saw that he brought his guitar, and he doesn't really play too much. And he says, well, I said, what are you going to be playing? He said, I'm going to be playing that Jesus loves me. This I know. He said, I can play that. He's going to remind those kids that Jesus loves them this morning. Well, sometimes us as adults need to be reminded of that as well. Jesus loves us. And even if we messed up, He still loves us. And He has open arms ready to receive us. So if you're here today and you've been searching for fulfillment in these areas of faith, hope, healing, love, I trust you better understand. Maybe I should go out there and on the post part just start writing in Jesus. 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 Jesus, because He is truly the answer that you need in all those areas. If you want to find fulfillment in areas of faith and hope and love and healing, it's Jesus. There is none like Him. Jesus Christ is the one that will fill every one of these universal needs. There's no one greater than Him. And there's one day coming that we're all going to recognize that. There's one day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, yes, Jesus, You are the one. You don't want to wait on that decision. That's one of those decisions you need to change now. That I want to serve the Lord now so that I don't have to worry about standing before God someday and then bowing my knee. I want to change now. I want to bend my knee now to Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, 9 to 11, speaking of Jesus, says, God elevated Him to the place of highest honor, gave Him the name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ, He's the answer to your need of faith. Jesus Christ, He's your answer to your need of healing. Jesus Christ, He's your answer to your need of hope. Jesus Christ is your answer to your need of love. So our musicians come back to the instruments here this morning. As I said to you, here at this church, we believe all those things. That's why those signs are out there. Because those are universal things that people are looking for today. They want to find true faith. They want to experience true faith. They want to experience hope. Where do I look to for hope? They want to experience healing. They want to experience love. And our message is out there is that, well, that the answer is Jesus. The key to all those things being fulfilled in your life is Jesus. That's the answer. So maybe you're here this morning and maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never opened up your heart to Jesus. Or maybe you've opened up your heart to Jesus for some things, but not for other things. Well, I want to tell you, He's the answer to all things, really. Not just those four things. That whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, Jesus Christ is the answer. He really is. You might say, oh, that's just such a simple little word that you're saying, Pastor. It's a truthful word. It's a real word. There's many people here that can stand up and testify and think, yes, Jesus Christ has made that difference in my life. So as we're inviting people to come here this morning, if you want prayer, feel free to come. Whether it's for healing, whether it's for faith, whether it's for hope, whether it's for love, that you could use some prayer in. Our prayer is not limited to just congregational people or people that say this is their church home. It's available to anyone who is here. We extend that to anybody, and we would love to pray with you. So I'm going to ask those that pray with me if they would just come to the front here this morning. And if you want prayer, we're going to close in this song. And as we close with this song, take that opportunity just to spend a few moments with God, to welcome Him in your situation, your circumstance. And if you would like prayer, please feel free just to come up. We're going to stand together and sing this song. And then after the song is done, you are dismissed. If you have to go, thank you for coming to church today. But if you would like prayer, please feel free that you can just come up and receive prayer. So let us stand as we close this song. And if you are in need of prayer here today, just please come forward and we'll gladly pray with you. It's been a blessing to have you today. Thank you for coming to church. May the Lord bless your week. May the Lord meet you this week. May the Lord touch your life this week. May you encounter Him in ways you've never encountered Him before. May God give you fresh visions and dreams that is going to touch your heart and touch your life. Bless you. Thank you for coming into the house of God.